As we think about this world we live in, a question comes to mind is, what does this world need? I'm guessing because you've gathered here for a church worship service, probably the quote church answer would be, well, it needs Jesus. And that would be correct. But what happens if we take it a little closer to home? What does your community need? What does your workplace need? What does your home need? And sometimes when we get a little closer to home, our list grows a little longer, a little more detailed, when in reality, the answer is the same. Our workplace, our community, our home needs Jesus. But sometimes the translation between knowing that and doing something about it gets lost. And so perhaps the more personal question this morning is, what does the world, what does your community, what does your workplace, what does your home need from you? You see, that's, I believe, where the application of God's word takes place. We know the world needs Jesus. We know our home needs Jesus. We know the people in our community need Jesus. But the way they get Jesus, the way they interact with Jesus, the way they come in contact with Jesus is through people, through you and through me. The Bible talks about us, those who are followers of Jesus, those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who have surrendered everything and chosen to be his disciple. The Bible describes us as being salt. And we grow up in a time, and I've not yet experienced this. I know many people that have been told by their doctors that they need a salt-free diet. And every time I hear that, every time I talk to people that have had to remove salt from their diet, the basic description is, if it tastes good, spit it out. You're not supposed to have it. And we enjoy salt, at least in appropriate amounts, because it adds flavor. We understand, and we don't use it a lot in today's culture, that salt also has been used as a preservative throughout history. But I want to think about specifically that aspect of flavor. What will it take for you and me to provide flavor to our community? To be the salt of the earth that God has called us to be? I'm going to look at a couple passages, first out of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is teaching. It's part of what we typically refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, this incredible teaching of Jesus that just kind of touches on everything about life. And in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." And as I read that, I think, me? The salt of the earth? And I can kind of grasp that. Well, God can do that through me, but it's the second part of that verse that I think ought to really convict every one of us. If salt has no flavor, if salt has no purpose, if it's lost its saltiness, what good is it? And for those that are in Christ, I believe Jesus is calling us to be a dash of salt into the world that we live in. It's by continuing to be that salt of the earth that God has called us to that we recognize that we have not lost our saltiness. We have not lost our flavor. We have not lost our purpose in our community, in our home, in our workplace. So what does it look like in today's culture, in today's community, in today's world, to be that dash of salt. I grew up in a home, my dad was a cook in the Army, and so cooking and food was a big part of our household growing up, and so I learned to cook from a very young age, and to cook and to bake and things, and a lot of recipes would call for either a pinch of salt or a dash of salt. And it was this idea that you just needed a little bit to make a difference. And sometimes we look at our community and we think, well, I can't do much. I don't have a great influence. I don't have a large platform to speak from. And so we don't do anything. So when I think about being a dash of salt, I think about being the little bit of salt that you can be. Perhaps that's all that's really needed in your workplace, in your community, in your home. You know, back in junior high, one of the tricks that would often be played is, and it happened occasionally at camp too, but they would unscrew the lids on the salt shakers. Perhaps you've experienced that, and maybe you've been one that's done that. And the next unsuspecting person would come up, and they'd grab that salt shaker, and they would think they were getting a dash of salt, and instead they got the whole salt shaker. And we recognize, well, that's not good. That kind of ruins the whole meal. And sometimes as Christians, we realize we've not done enough. We've not represented Jesus. We've not been the witness we've been called to be. And we think we have to dump the whole salt shaker all at once. And we wonder why people are offended, why they run away from us. But what would happen if you and I were to live life this coming week as a dash of salt? So I'm going to use the word salt, and that's typically the way I preach, is one of these words is my outline. And so I've got four, I believe, practical elements that you can put into your life to be a dash of salt this week. And the first thing I want to look at is, as being a dash of salt, you provide to your community, to your family, to your workplace, a dash of service. Jesus made it clear that he came to earth as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as Messiah, not to be served, but to serve mankind. And he says, we're to do the same. We're to be like him. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, we read the instruction to let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This dash of service, this dash of doing good to others, it doesn't take a whole lot. Sometimes just a smile and a thank you to somebody that's not expecting it will make their day. It's been said in surveys throughout the last generation at least that one of the least favorite days for servers in restaurants is Sunday. Because the people will leave church and they'll come to the restaurant and they're generally some of the poorer tippers and their attitudes are usually one of wanting to be served. When I've gone to conventions and set up, they've always stressed to all of us to make a difference. Whether it was the North American Christian Convention or the National Missionary Convention, which became ICOM, it was always that idea that you need to make a difference in this community. And you can do that by the way you treat those that are here to serve. As I would set up prayer ministry displays, I've written a number of prayer-based devotionals, and the convention center workers, those that were sweeping the floor, those that were cleaning up after all of us, would come by, and occasionally they would look at them, and I would say, you're welcome to take one. And it was always that, no, I just work here. I'm not a part of the convention. Well, you're a person. You're welcome to take it. It's not restricted to those that, quote, belong. And time again, I would start with one convention worker, and before the convention was over, they would be bringing everybody that worked there. And they would say, come, look what he's willing to give. Look what we can have. Simply because I provided that dash of service. It wasn't huge, it wasn't a lot, but it was that willingness to say, you matter to me because you matter to God. And that verse out of Galatians that we read, sometimes I think we give up in those dashes of service in providing that because, well, we live in this instantaneous society. We want results today. Well, I said thank you last week and they didn't show up to church when I invited them. I helped them mow their lawn and invited them to church and they're not here. We do those little things of service and we expect immediate results. And God says, do not become weary in doing good. Do not become weary in providing that dash of service because in due time, better translated in God's time, you will reap a harvest. If you do not give up. And so as we provide a dash of salt to our community, to our workplace, to our homes, we provide a dash of service. We say, what can I do to help? Expecting nothing in return, but just serving like Jesus serves. We also provide a dash of salt when we provide a dash of acceptance. And I know this can be really challenging for Christians because it sounds like I'm saying it's okay to do anything you want. That's not really what I'm saying. In Romans chapter 15, God tells us to accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. And so as we provide this dash of acceptance, it means that I'm looking beyond the actions of a person to who they really are. I may not like what they do. God may not be one that likes what they do. But God still loves them. It's a phrase I've used often in a lot of settings. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, what you act like. God loves you. And when we begin to provide that level, that dash of acceptance to people, how did Christ accept us? Christ accepted us as we were, not with the intent of leaving us as we were, but with the intent of transforming us through the power of His Spirit, through the washing of our sins, through the forgiveness that we've received through the blood of Christ. But all of that forgiveness, all of that transformation comes as a result of being accepted by Christ as His beloved. As those who love because He first loved us. And so as we go about our community, about our workplace, about our home life, we provide this dash of salt by providing a dash of acceptance that says, you matter to me because you matter to God. And so many times we see the sin that our world is involved in, and it's repulsive. And I'm not diminishing that in any bit because our world is involved in a lot of very repulsive sin. And we're not quite sure how to provide that dash of acceptance. And we need to look at Jesus, the one who did that perfectly, who could look at those caught in sin and say, I love you. Now stop doing that. And He could say it in a way that it was not condemning. It was not judgmental. It was truth. And as we provide a dash of salt in our community, God calls us to love people without qualification. To let people know that you, whoever you are, whatever you've done, are loved by God. And so as we take this dash of salt and we provide a dash of service, we provide a dash of acceptance, one of the lost arts in our world, I believe, is providing this next step, is this dash of listening. We're busy. And we kind of know everything. And so we don't really incline our ears to listening to what others have to say. We've made up our mind, and we live in a world that is so divided because everybody's made up their mind and they're all yelling at each other about being right, and all of the yelling doesn't really change anyone's opinion. But what happens when we begin to listen? We begin to hear that we're probably not as far apart as we think we are. We begin to recognize that things are different than what we perceive they are. You see, in this dash of listening, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." I wonder what would happen if every believer in the United States would listen before sharing that latest social media meme that kind of makes your point and makes a dig at the person that believes differently than you. Would begin by listening to God. You see, that's where this dash of listening ought to start. We ought to look to God and say, "God, what do you have to say about this?" And I believe God would instruct us through His Word, through His Spirit, many of these points of loving people, respecting people, accepting people. But I believe He also would tell us to go beyond listening to Him and to listen to them, to hear the hurt, the brokenness, the frustration, many of the same things that you yourself are feeling. Their expression may be different than yours, but it's still being felt in a real way. And we provide this dash of salt in our world, in our community, in our workplace, in our homes, when we begin to provide a dash of listening and say, "I'm not going to say anything until you've had a chance to speak." And for many people, that's extremely difficult, because they'll say something and we're afraid we'll forget. And so I have to respond right now. And it completely derails any real conversation. And if we can find the time, and I know sometimes that's one of the biggest hurdles. Listening takes time. And we're busy. We've got things to do, places to be. And we don't want to take the time to listen. But this dash of salt, being the salt of the earth that Jesus has called us to be, says, "Because you matter, you're worth my time. And because you matter, I want to understand your life, what you're going through. And so I'm going to listen." But I believe all of these points come together in this final aspect of a dash of salt. You see, we can provide a dash of service, we can provide a dash of acceptance, we can provide a dash of listening, but all of it must be done within the context of this dash of truth. You see, anything that we do in the name of Christ must be done with integrity according to His Word. God's Word is true. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, he says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ." And it's a passage talking about getting along and realizing that we are one body. And the central part of that is the truth of Christ as the head of the body. And when He becomes the center, He becomes the source, then everything else we do kind of is mandated that it flows from that. John 17, 17, and part of this prayer of Jesus as he's facing the trial and crucifixion in this last week of life. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You see, sometimes we're afraid to speak truth because it's unpleasant. But sometimes we're afraid to speak truth because, well, we don't really believe it. We say we believe it, but our actions show otherwise. We're afraid to speak truth because people know us and, well, they're likely to label us a hypocrite. Because we say this is what God's Word says, and yet they know that's not how we live. But part of the truth is that we all have sinned. We all do sin and rely on God's grace, His forgiveness, His mercy every day. And as we share this dash of salt, we share the truth of Jesus, that His grace is enough. His mercy is enough. His forgiveness is complete. And so many times when we live life as the salt of the earth, rather than adding flavor, we kind of do that opposite thing and we rub salt into the wounds, which isn't pleasant at all. But when we recognize the truth, one of the earlier passages I read about serving others, it talked about doing so, beginning at the family of believers. And there's different scriptures that talk about taking care of God's people. And I think one of the reasons that the church exists is that we can practice serving one another the way that God wants to serve our community. I'm guessing that within a gathering of this size that not all of you agree 100% about everything. There are different views about this and about that, but how we address that can make a big difference in how we address the world. And when God's truth becomes center of everything we do, then we begin to provide that dash of salt to our world, to our community, to our workplaces, and to our homes. What does the world need? It needs Jesus. What does the world need from you? I believe the world needs from you the same thing it needs from me. This week, today yet, it needs a dash of salt. It needs you and me to go out and serve, accept, listen, and share truth. I believe every time that God's word is spoken, He calls for everyone that hears it to make a decision. Many times we reach the end of a message and we think, well, it's a decision to accept Jesus. And that is definitely a good decision to make if you have not yet had your sins washed away and accepted Christ as your Savior, your Lord. But I recognize that generally within a church gathering on a Sunday morning, most people have gathered believing in Jesus, having accepted Him as their Lord. And you may think, well, this decision time isn't for me then. I think it's probably more for you than you think. Because God's calling every one of us to decide. Is what I heard today really God's word? And if it is, what am I going to do about it? You see, God's word is living and active. And it's designed to change us. And when we are exposed to God's word, when we spend time hearing it, when we spend time reading it, I believe every time God's saying, here's a lesson. Now go practice. And so today, maybe it's one of those in specific that God's Spirit has been tugging at your heart in this message, saying, I really need to go out and make it a practice to do that today. To serve, to accept, to listen, to share truth. Maybe it's a combination of all of it. But whatever it is, I do pray that you not only decide to do what God says, but then you go and do it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. And your love for us is so complete, so all-encompassing that even while we were your enemies, in our mind, Christ died for us. And so, Father, today, may we take seriously our role as the salt of the earth. We like you being that salt and doing all of the work, and yet your word tells us that that's our job. So, Father, help us today to serve, to accept, to listen, to share truth. And may we add flavor to our world in such a way that we lift up Jesus at every opportunity that we have, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.